That was a bit of Tom Lehrer with his classic song Pollution. The song was released in 1965. That was 5 years before the passage of the landmark Clean Air Act. That act was designed to regulate the emissions of toxins into our air in order to protect the public health. But 55 years later, and according to the 2025 annual report of the American Lung Association, nearly half of US residents breathe unhealthy air. Now, here in Portland, we definitely have an air quality problem. Back in 2012, the Portland Air Toxics Study looked at cancer-causing pollutants that are not routinely monitored and found that of the 19 that they looked at, 14 of them were above the levels that adversely affect human health. Then our listeners might remember there was the notorious U.S. Forest Service Moss Study in 2013, which revealed alarmingly high levels of cadmium and arsenic in the air that turned out to be from glass factories. Just last year, as part of its initiative to reduce urban pollution, the Environmental Protection Agency fingered North Northwest Portland as one of 27 communities nationwide that are most overburdened, that's their word, overburdened with toxic air pollution. Now, that's not a great distinction to have. Now, despite Zena's significant contribution to air pollution in North Portland, and despite the whole host of problems with Zenith that I'm sure listeners are aware of, what I fear we will hear from DEQ in the end is that they have no grounds to deny the air quality permit. They'll tell us that their hands are tied. So we have all this pollution. We have this installation that's emitting all these toxics. Well, what gives? If you take a close look at EPA and DEQ and how they monitor and control air pollution, what you find is that the system is pretty much rigged in favor of polluting corporate entities. I'm a board member of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, and I've been looking at and speaking about air quality issues in Portland for the past several years. Today, I asked Jan Hocken to come onto the air to talk with me about air quality here in Portland. Jan is a local filmmaker and director of Necessity, Climate Justice, and the Thin Green Line. That feature-length documentary followed local activists as they enlisted the necessity defense in a jury trial after being arrested for a direct action at Zenith Energy in Portland. The trial resulted in a hung jury and the charges were dropped. So, Jan, thank you for coming on the air. I just made a pretty bold accusation about air quality standards and enforcement. There's lots to talk about. Where do you think we should start?
I think before turning to the EPA and how to think about the EPA and its job, I think it would be helpful to set the dramaturgy that I think most of us are familiar with. The central dramaturgy in the film was the struggle with the city that had said, our hands are tied around, the way that Zenith got its initial permits. And the permitting process has been the central struggle. The EPA has been kind of in the background of this stage as kind of a Greek chorus trying to warn and do its job, but burdened by its own limited mandate. Just in March, late March, the Portland City Council adopted the Zenith Accountability Resolution, demanding investigations into the city's conduct and the Zenith franchise agreement. Damon Matsudori with Oregon Sierra Club said, Portland just showed that we have the power to defend our communities from dangerous, dirty fuels. The corrupt Trump administration is gutting the APA to give handouts to fossil fuel companies and so on. So, before turning to the EPA, how would you How would you arrange the key protagonists on the stage here and the fight of communities, particularly student communities that are most affected by these toxins against these corporations and their political allies?
Well, I'll say a couple things about that. The first thing I think that's most important is that many of the significant progress that has been made locally in terms of bringing corporate entities to heel and installing the proper pollution controls or shutting down or whatever have all been through citizen action pressuring the DEQ. It's the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. They generally require some prodding.
DEQ also, just to clarify the point you're making, even the pressure on city council around transparency or permitting and some positive gestures from the city council this year, the DEQ weighs in on that.
Well, DEQ is the entity that's responsible for either allowing an air quality permit or disallowing. They have the authority. And to bring the EPA back in, it's the EPA is, generally speaking, is the agency at the national level that sets the standards. And DEQ primarily is in the business of enforcing those standards. And I think a lot of activists look at Zenith and say, you know, bad actor, putting out pollutants, you know, a big earthquake risk. To us, it's obvious. And I think what people often don't quite understand is that the regulatory apparatus is so narrowly conceived and so much designed to favor corporate interests that it's really difficult to get an agency like DEQ, even if it wants to shut down an entity like Zenith. And if they tried, Zenith would take them to court and would likely win because, you know, these are very narrowly conceived regulations. That, well, that's mainly what I wanted to talk about
Can
this
you
morning.
establish one other element of the dramaturgy, and that is Zenith. So Zenith is only one corporation in this hub. Why are we focusing so much on Zenith?
Originally, I think we focused on Zenith because a lot of people felt that it was in violation of the spirit, if not the actual law, the law that was passed that Portland would not permit any new fossil fuel infrastructure. And they managed to slide under the door with an already established air quality permit. And we were in a legal battle, and I think we would have won that legal battle until the Portland City Council capitulated, basically. The city capitulated through a backdoor deal. I think that's why there's a lot of outrage around Zenith. And there's more. They've been a very bad corporate actor.
So let's return to and you made a distinction, of course, between the EPA at the federal level and the DEQ, the state level that carries out both Oregon's own mandates, as well as some federal guidelines.
Yeah, it determines some of its own standards, but the air quality standards in general are set by EPA. So I want to talk first about the so-called safe levels. Let me talk about benzene because benzene is something, is a volatile organic compound. It's very toxic at very low levels. It's a very potent carcinogen, and it's something that Zenith belches out on a daily basis as part of its normal operations. The safe level that Oregon endorses is that if you breathe over a long period of time, like over your lifetime, if you breathe air that has any more than a third of a grain, a third of a grain of salt in a boxcar, That's how much benzene we're talking about. A third of a grain of salt in an empty boxcar. If you breathe in that level of benzene over a lifetime, you start to see problems with your immune system. You start to see blood cancers. So you can see how very, very toxic benzene is. Now, how do we know that about benzene? We know that because of occupational studies and because of animal studies. There are very, very few big community studies that look at a community that's exposed to benzene over a long period of time to say what the effects are. There was actually such a study done in 2024 in England, and it found that for every little rise in benzene in the air, the mortality from all causes in those populations went up. So we know benzene is a bad actor. But the fact that these are extrapolated safe levels, what that means is that different methods are used by different agencies like the World Health Organization, the EU, Canada's EPA equivalent. So there are different standards. There isn't even a general agreement. The World Health Organization says on its website that benzene is unsafe at any level. But the real big problem with these standards is that the assumption is that you're being exposed to one chemical at a time. That just never happens in an urban area or anywhere. You don't get exposed just to one toxin. And so there are additive effects, there are multiplicative effects. None of that is taken into account. But as it turns out, it probably doesn't even matter too much that we know what a safe level of benzene is, because those safe levels that have been established for thousands of toxins, EPA has done that work. So I want to defend EPA a little bit here. But those standards that they've established really don't inform the other set of standards that they developed, which are the emission standards. And this tells industrial applications, industrial settings, how much benzene or particulate matter or arsenic or whatever they can emit into the air. That's a whole nother process. They're not based on some determination about if you let an industry emit this much, then you'll get this level in the air. That's not the process. The standard is developed based on an application of what they call the best technology available and the throughput for a particular industry. So, using Zenith again as an example, Zenith says, well, we're going to process 100 gallons of crude oil per hour. And the DEQ then uses this best technology available to cut down on emissions and says, okay, if you're putting that much crude oil through your operation and you use the best technology available to cut down on emissions, then this is what your VOC, for example, emissions or your benzene emissions will be. That has nothing to do with what benzene actually ends up in the air in the sense of whether it's safe or not.
I know the statements that Zenith has made for quite some time now is they understand the fossil fuels carry all these toxic properties, and we need to move toward renewables, and that they are in fact moving toward renewables with biodiesel. How do their claims register in the same process and the limited tools that are available to the EPA?
Well, in terms of their toxic emissions, we're still talking about highly volatile fuels that they're handling. And that does, the fact that they're going to be handling so-called renewable diesel doesn't really make that much difference. What matters is the fact that they're expanding operations, and the more they expand, the more they are legally permitted to emit. That's one of the big problems with this way of monitoring or of regulating emissions. The next time they come around, they want to expand, then they'll be permitted to emit even more benzene or volatile organic compounds.
So
And
whatever arguments and solutions Zenith offers are basically false solutions and
well, I
shut
think you're
down all.
confounding a couple of different issues, one of which is renewable diesel, which is really not renewable. And there are all sorts of problems with renewable diesel, and we don't want it coming through
Right.
Portland. I think the other issue is the contribution that they make on a daily basis to air pollution in Portland. And the problem with this way of regulating it, which is, you tell us how much throughput you're going to have, how much volume you're going to have, and we'll tell you how much, what your cap is on your VOCs based on the best technology available. What that means is that there are a couple things you will never, ever hear DEQ say. One is, no, Zenith, you can't expand your operations because we already have too many VOCs in Portland in the air. You'll never hear them say that. You'll never hear them say to a new company coming in, no, I'm sorry, we already have too much VOC contamination in the air.
Why is the DEQ so impotent as an actor on this stage?
Because that's the way the regulations are designed. They're designed not to look at air quality in a community and then regulate who operates there based on what the air quality is. What they're designed to do is to look at each individual industry and regulate those emissions separately. So if you have one installation in an area, maybe not so bad, but at the CEI hub and in Northwest Portland, you have a ton of installations. Half of the polluting industries in Portland are located in North Northwest Portland. So you have this huge concentration of pollutants being emitted into the air. But all DEQ can do is make sure that based on the volume of stuff they're handling at the CEI hub, the installations there, that they utilize best technology and tamp down on what they're emitting. That's the best DEQ can do. That's the way the system is set up.
So one arm of the DEQ is to measure and monitor, and then the other arm is how they enforce regulations. What would you say about that?
Well, that's very problematic as well. I think it's important to understand that there may be thousands of chemicals that are being emitted, and the vast majority of them are not monitored or measured at all. When emissions are monitored, like volatile organic compounds, for the most part, depending on the industry, it's a little complicated, but for the most part, these are not, there isn't some measurement that's taken at the stack. Instead, they use these formulas to calculate based again on their throughput. So we're going to run 100 gallons through, and based on that, we apply all these formulas, and this is how much VOC we think we're emitting. And the problem is that the formula that's most commonly used has been found to routinely underestimate what those VOCs are that are being emitted. So those calculations, you really can't depend on them. Now, they are backed up sometimes by spot measurements where they actually measure, but this is a process that DEQ has very little oversight over. It's the responsibility of the entity like Zenith to call in a proprietary outfit, at a date and time of their choosing and make this measurement and without much DEQ oversight. And who knows how accurate that is. And let me just mention one more thing that I think people may not understand is that there is almost no monitoring in the community of these various toxins to let us know that, oh my gosh, too much stuff is coming out of the CEI hub. The closest monitor to the CEI hub that looks for toxins in the air is at 57th and Southeast Lafayette, Southeast Portland. And it monitors for VOCs and particulates and various things. There are no community monitors in Linton. There's no community monitors in Overlook. There's
Isn't
a
there a call for, I suppose you call them citizen scientists, community groups to monitor because the overseeing bureaucracy is so captured by the industry or so narrowly obsessive in its approach?
Well, Portland Clean Air is actually very sophisticated about this, and they've been working on community air quality monitoring for a number of years. And they are in the process of purchasing some very accurate mobile VOC monitors that they can put on a scooter
And
and
VOC means
volatile organic compound like benzene. So this is a monitor that'll look at benzene levels. They can mount it on a scooter. They can drive it all over North Portland and then can actually create maps of levels of benzene based on time and weather and location and potentially figure out where most the VOCs are coming from or where the benzene is coming from. So that's a very exciting project, and there's lots of room for people in North Portland to be involved in that project. And that's actually the kind of thing that is going to produce the most results in terms of cleaning up the air in Portland. Everyone should come out if they can to the University of Portland tonight for the hearing. It's really important to show that the community does not want Zenith in Portland. And even if DEQ ends up approving that permit, that's not the end of the story. It's very important for us to be educating each other about the limitations that they face. I'll tell you, there are a lot of really good people at DEQ who would like to do a lot better job. And the more we're out there calling for better monitoring in the community and not relying on these formulas to determine, what the emissions are and allowing the industries to underreport. The more we educate ourselves, the more we demonstrate that the community is really knowledgeable and persistent and is going to continue to oppose Zenith and other corporate bad actors.
Part of it, what you're saying is it's important to really look closely at these agencies that are supposed to make these industries safe, the regulatory apparatus, and how weak it is, and to separate false solutions from genuine alternatives
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
the necessity film is available to distribute it online if people are interested in some of that history. It follows some of the history of Zenith in the region. So it's called Necessity, Climate Justice and the Thin Green Line. But as you're reminding us, the struggle continues and
Right.
no decisive denouement, but it's important to be educated so we're not fooled by these false solutions.
DEQ is holding an in-person public hearing for people to comment on Zenith. That's tonight, May 12th. It's at the Buckley Center Auditorium at the University of Portland. That's 5000 North Willamette Boulevard. There's a rally at 6 p.m. The hearing will start at 6:30. You can also join via Zoom. And there's also going to be a virtual hearing via Zoom on May 15th. From 6 to 8:30 p.m., which is another opportunity to testify and weigh in. The deadline for submission of written comments is 5 p.m. May 30th, and those can also be submitted online or through email. All that information is on the webpage for this show at kboo.fm.